purpose of our getting together today was this is the Namkarana and this is a Sanskar. We are giving the name to our grandson, Chaitanya's son. And in the days before, what people used to do is they used to have elaborate yagyas and they used to have many brahmanas doing chanting. Most of them were smartha brahmanas. Present company not included. And the position was that people were just doing ritualistically and wrong, because in Kali Yuga there is no case for doing these sort of rituals. In Kali Yuga, as Bhagavatam says, Nama Sankirtanam Yasya Sarva Papa Pranashanam Pranama Dukha Samanas Tannamami Harimparam. So it is the Nam Sankirtan Yagya only. There is no possibility for us to gather so many ingredients to have elaborate big fire sacrifices or to have any other type of yagyas which were there before. So I requested Radhanath Maharaj that we should now start this system, if it's not already started, worldwide in ISKCON and in other Vaishnava sampradayas everywhere. That it should, whenever the child is born, and then these are just few day old child, so he requires blessings of Acharyas, Vaishnavas, and our Guru Maharaj here, all you Vaishnavas, blessings will be so kind. And this young fellow, though he may not understand what is going on, but I think that Prahlad Maharaj gave a beautiful example, that even when he was in the womb of his mother, Narad Muni was speaking to the mother, the Bhagavatam, and he perfected that knowledge. So it's not necessary that one has to be very grown up to understand the wonderful teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. So with these few words, I would like to call Dev Harsh, that is the name everyone, Maharaj, if it's okay with you, we have selected. Maharaj is always very happy. Deva Harsh, yes. So Deva Harsh Prabhu, please come. So Chaitanya is bringing his son. He was born on 20th of January, and his other grandparents are also here. Vasanpai is here, Hansaben is there, and Maharaj, blessings absent. Maharaj, Vasalija. Devarth Prabhu. Maharaj is speaking in his ears the Mahamantra.
Hare Krishna. Your name will be Deva Harsh.
So, in due course, please note the evening program is, I have requested if Maharaj could give a small lecture now, as he wishes. Since he wishes to go early, he says, we'll have, but I requested if we can have one more kirtan after the lecture, especially if the Vishwaroop brings his other friends, the Brijvasis. I'd appreciate. Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Thank you, Srinath Sri Prabhu. It is said in the Srimad Bhagavat, Guru na sasyat, swajini na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. That when one takes the position where others are depending upon us or subordinate to us, it is our first and foremost responsibility that our dependent will never take birth again in this material world. According to the Bhagavatam, this is the eternal, most essential duty of a parent: to provide food, clothing, shelter. It may be meager, it may be elaborate, but factually, the animals and the lower species are also somehow providing those necessities to their children. They are defending them, nourishing them. What distinguishes human existence from that of the lower forms of life is that the human being can realize his or her eternal nature. This body is a temporary residence, and the human body is the best possible residence you can have. In fact, the Shastras declare that the human form of life is like a boat. And if it has proper captain in form of spiritual direction, the spiritual master and the sadhus, and favorable breezes, the instructions of the Vedas, then that boat of human existence can carry the soul across this vast ocean of birth and death. Everyone is looking for pleasure. The greatest of all pleasure is love. But despite so many elaborate and extravagant ways of trying to be happy, the heart is ultimately not fulfilled. Material existence has been created in such a way that by the force of time, we are undeniably frustrated. But if we utilize this human form of life for its true purpose, to realize who we are, what is our relationship with God, and how to attain that relationship, then we will find the great treasure of unlimited eternal joy. And there is no substitute. Our civilization is creating so many alternatives, but there is no real alternative. The essence of all religion, the highest perfection of every spiritual path, is to love God. And of all aspects or conceptions of God, the conception of Krishna is the fullest, most complete and sublime. Because Krishna is Ras Bihari. He engages in the most fulfilling, intimate exchanges of love with his devotees. And that love is hidden within our heart. To teach our children the way to uncover that love in life and to share that love with others is the greatest act of love that a parent can offer to its child. Of course, we have to very affectionately maintain our practical responsibilities for the child's health and provide proper education, provide various forms of exercise and entertainment. This is parents' duty. But they pass. That child, if by the grace of God lives, it will be old. And some of us who are getting old, when we look back at our life, our whole life seems to have passed in but a moment. It is a world of fleeting pleasures and fleeting pains. But during this sojourn, if we can give the child real faith and real devotion, then we are successful. then we are on the highest platform of reality, loving parents. We are actually distinguished from the lower species. We are human beings. Srinathji Prabhu and Maithili Mataji, they have raised their children in this spirit. And we see the fruit of the tree of their efforts. All of their children are wonderful devotees. Keshav Prabhu and his good wife Namamrita has wholeheartedly accepted his mission of serving God and the devotees. They have two beautiful children, Rishab and Gorangi, who love to hear and chant and play mridangas. Everywhere in the house they see pictures of Krishna. They see their parents serving Krishna. They come to the temple with their devotees. They see sadhus coming and giving them blessings. They're being conditioned to love God. And Brinda Priya, daughter, very enthusiastic devotee, along with her, she was married to a first class, excellent Vaishnav, Radha Giridhari. And although they are abroad, how much incredible service they're rendering every day through their family. And their little children, Krishangi and Radhika, they're all just surrounded by Krishna consciousness. And Chaitanya Prabhu and Janisha, the youngest children of the family, just recently they have their child, Devaharsha. And this little baby is so fortunate, so fortunate. Manusya nam sahasreshu kashtid yatati siddhaye yata namapi siddhanam kashtin mam veti tatvata. Out of thousands and thousands of people, one may strive for spiritual perfection. Thus this little Devaharsha, he's going to see spiritual perfection all around him. Even before he sees it. He's hearing the kirtans, seeing the devotees. He'll be raised only to take prasad. He'll see his parents performing arti in the morning, and his grandparents and his uncles and his aunties and cousins. This home is, in fact, like Vaikuntha. Except Vaikuntha doesn't have cellular phones. The spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada explains the definition of Vaikuntha is a place where everyone is centered around, they're centering their lives around helping each other to love Krishna, to please Krishna, to serve Krishna. When you water the root of the tree, every part of the tree is satisfied. When we live together for the service of Krishna, individually and collectively, we all flourish. Today, by Srinathji and Maithili Mataji's invitation, there are Brijavasis that have come. In fact, they're just walking in the door now. Riyari. So now Vaikuntha has turned into Goloka. That is the power of the Brijavasis. Someone can translate for them as I'm speaking? Ishwari Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
You will translate for him also?
Hare Hare. We are very fortunate that these very, very dear friends who we have known for the past 31 years, their Guru Maharaj, Ramesh Babaji Maharaj, very, very genuine, original Brijavasis, in the spirit of complete dedication to Sri Krishna, living such simple, humble lives, knowing that the real wealth is bhakti. So it is our request that all the assembled devotees offer prayers to Sri Radha Gopinathji, that little Deva Harsha will not live a harsh life, but will live a Dave life, Deva life. Harsh means pleasure in Sanskrit, and it means something completely different in English. So this is the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. English language is the common vernacular for the planet today. It is a harsh language, spoken by harsh people. But Sanskrit is a very pleasing language. It is a very harsh language for very harsh people, but different harsh, pleasing harsh. Sanskrit. It is truly a wonderful meditation to see these very, very small little baby children. And then we reflect and meditate upon how the Supreme Absolute Truth, Parabrahman, the personality of Godhead, the source of all avatars, he himself appears in this world like a helpless little child. For what reason? Simply to give pleasure to his devotees. When Krishna was hardly a few days old, he killed the great Rakshasi, Asura Putana. She was so powerful. She had mystic powers. There is no military army in the entire planet that could stand before Putana. If you had the entire United States Army with allies of Indian Army and British Army, even if Pakistan Army joined in, Russian Army, if they all joined together against Putana, she would smash them in a matter of minutes. That's how powerful she was. She was indestructible. But yet, child Gopal, small baby, he just hung on to that breast of Putana and sucked her life right out. And even though she came to kill him, because she came in the role of mother, upon dying, first, she had to suffer pain. That was the reaction for her offensive mentality and all of her previous karmas of killing countless other babies. But some small token of pain, and then she was sent directly to Goloka to be one of the mothers of Krishna eternally. That is the mercy of Krishna. But yet he appears like such a helpless little child. Although he is the proprietor of everything that exists, he is Makanchor. He is butter thief. How is this possible? The gopis of Vrindavan, they would make butter in their homes for only one reason. They were hoping that if they made it with so much love and so much devotion, that little Gopal will come and steal it. And if they can somehow see him stealing it, that will be the ultimate pleasure of their heart. Or just knowing he has accepted their love. But for the pleasure of his parents, he acted in such a way to fill their hearts with motherly and fatherly love. One time, Yashoda Mai was in another place. At least that's what Krishna was thinking. But actually, she was hiding and watching him. Just watching his movements, watching how he was roaming with his eyes from one place to another, looking for butter to steal. And he saw a clay pot. And he put his hand in that pot and started to eat the butter. But nearby was a pillar inlaid with precious jewels. And he saw his reflection in one of the jewels. As a little baby, he was thinking that this reflection was an intruder who was come and watching him performing this criminal activity. So he began to shake in fear. And then he spoke to his reflection in the jewel. Gopal said, "Oh, my brother, please, please do not tell my mother what you see. If you just keep this a secret, what you see, I will save some of the butter for you." Meanwhile, Yashoda Mai, she's hiding in a place watching this whole pastime and hearing Krishna's sweet broken words, and she's smiling. At that time, she came into the room, and Gopal, there was butter all over, hardly any left in the pot. He said, "Mata, Mata, you know what happened?" He pointed his finger. "You see that person there?" He pointed to the reflection of himself in the jewel. He said, "He came into your house to steal your butter. And I told him, no one should steal my mother's butter. You get out of this place. Don't be greedy. Don't be a thief." But he didn't listen to what I said. He ate the butter. I became very angry on him, and he became very angry on me. "But mother, please know, I'm not greedy for butter. I would never take this butter." Another time, Yashoda Mai was outside, and Gopal, he was stealing butter. So Yashoda Mai could see. She said, "Krishna, what are you doing?" And then she came in the room. And Gopal, when she came in the room, his hand was in the butter pot. That is what we call in English, caught red-handed. So Gopal was very clever. He said, "Mataji, you put this bangle on me that has these rubies, and the shining effulgence of the rubies on my bangle burned my hand, and it was in so much pain, I stuck it in this butter just to relieve the pain." And Yashoda Mai said, "Oh, please let me see your hand." And she kissed his hand again and again and said, "Actually, your hand is burnt. I will take off these bangles with the rubies and put something else." This is the motherly affection that Krishna attracted from the hearts of his devotees. There is another time were gopis. They came to complain. They said, Yashodamai, you see this little Gopal? He looks so innocent. But actually, let me tell you what he does every day. Before we milk the cows, he unties the calves and they drink all the milk of the cows. And when we come to milk them, there's nothing left. And then he runs away. And he comes into our houses and he steals butter. Every day he does like this. And when we tie it high in the rafters, then he just climbs, he comes with gopas and they climb on each other's shoulders and then poke with stick the bottom so all the butter comes out. And not only does he eat it, but he invites the monkeys of Vrindavan into our home. And he distributes the butter to monkeys. And after the monkeys take to their full satisfaction, he starts throwing the butter all over the walls and the floor and says, this butter is so useless, even the monkeys will not eat it. Sometimes, when it's dark, even at night, he will come. And somehow or other, because of the shining jewels that you put on him, he lights up the whole atmosphere and finds it. And if we hide our butter so well that he can't find it, then he will pass urine and stool on our floor. Or sometimes he will even put water in the ears of our sleeping babies and make them cry. Right now, your little Gopal looks like he's so innocent, but we know in his mind he's just plotting for the next time he steals our butter. So Yashodamai said, then I will tie him up, I will keep him home. They said, no, please don't do that. All the while they were speaking, they were laughing and smiling in love. And they admitted, we only make this butter so that your Gopal will come and steal it. So that night, Nanda Maharaj came. And Yashodamai, she said, Nanda, I have to tell you what your son has done. And Krishna jumped on Nanda Maharaj's lap. And he said, today, Mataji is scolding me too much. I didn't do anything wrong, but she's scolding me too much. So Nanda Maharaj said, well, why did Mataji scold you today? And Krishna called to Yashodamai and said, tell my father why you have scolded me today. So Yashodamai, she told all the complaints of all the gopis to Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj looked at Krishna's beautiful, beautiful moon-like face, the reservoir of all beauty. And Nanda Maharaj said to Yashoda, my son is faultless. He would never do such things. You should be chastised for believing that he has done these things. And then he looked at little Gopal and embraced him very affectionately and said, Gopal, you just stay on my lap. There's no need for you to go anywhere else. And upon hearing that, Gopal jumped off his lap and jumped on Yashodamai's lap. And all the parents, they were laughing. Although Krishna appears like such an innocent, mischievous child, he is the supreme object of everyone's love. Krishna would sometimes play in the dirt of Vrindavan. Braj-raj. Yes? These Brijabasis, they are made of Braj-raj. They are covered with the dust of Braj-bhumi. Krishna with his gopa friends, when they were very small children, they would play with the dirt, and they would make, each one of them would make a small town out of dirt. They would make houses and boundary walls and roads. And then another little child would come and break one of the houses down of Krishna's. Then Krishna would rebuild the little house, and he would go to his friend's house, and he would break one of his houses down. And then the friend would rebuild his little dirt house. And they would just be on their hands and knees playing with the dirt, building these houses, building towns. The demigods, they were in the sky watching this. They were astonished. How is this? They were calling out in exclamatory voices that the Supreme Lord of all creation is playing in the dirt. Simply by his glance, innumerable universes come into existence. Simply by his glance, innumerable universes are dissolved. And instead of doing that type of work, he's playing in the dirt with his friends. And it appears to us that he's playing so hard for so long that he's completely exhausted. But still, he continues to play. The gopis, elder gopis, they were watching Gopal building his little towns out of dirt on his hands and knees, and they were so charmed. Their motherly affection for him became so uncontrollable. With tears in their eyes, they were crying, "Krishna, Krishna, please come into my courtyard, play with my children, and we'll give you nice dahi, and we'll give you nice butter, and so many nice sweets. Please come." But Gopal was so totally immersed in building this little town out of dirt on the ground of Vrindavan that he smiled at the gopis and said, "I cannot come to your house because I do not have time to spare." So the gopis, they just came to little Gopal and took him by the hand and brought him to their courtyards and brought him to their homes. And they showered him with love and embraces. And they gave him all sorts of nice prasad to eat. And then they took him home. When Krishna was a small child, it was night, Purnima. The full moon was shining very, very beautifully. And on this full moon night, Yashoda Mai was talking to some of her friends. And Gopal came and started pulling sari. And Yashoda Mai said, "What do you want? What do you want?" And one of the gopis said, "We will give you nice fresh butter, nice fresh yogurt, nice sweetmeats, whatever you like." Krishna said, "No, I don't want that." He started to cry. They said, "Well, what do you want?" He said, "I want freshly churned condensed butter." The gopis never heard of such a thing. They said, "What is condensed butter?" And he pointed to the full moon. He said, "I want that condensed butter." So one of the gopis, she said, "That is not condensed butter. That is Rajahamsa.
That is the king of swans who is swimming across the lake of the sky. So Gopal said, I want to play with Raja Hamsa. Give him to me. Give him to me. Another gopi saw that that didn't work. She said, actually, it's not Raja Hamsa. This is the moon. It's a planet hanging in the sky called Chandra. So Gopal said, give me Chandra. So Yashoda Mai, she said, Gopal, it's not a Raja Hamsa. And it's not Chandra either. It's what it really is freshly churned, condensed butter. But unfortunately, it has poison spots on it. And therefore, no one in the world can eat it and live. And Krishna asked his mother, why does it have poison spots? And besides that, what is poison? And she explained how this condensed butter came from the churning of the Kshirasagar, the ocean of milk. Gopal said, ah, ocean of milk? How many cows did it take to fill an ocean with milk? And Yashoda Mai said, no cows. There were no cows. He said, then who filled up the ocean of milk? And she said, that person who has given the cows the ability to produce milk, he has filled the ocean of milk. He said, well, who is that? She said, he is Bhagavan. He is the Supreme Lord, the controller of all controllers, the ultimate object of everyone's life. And she said that, and Krishna said, well, why is there poison? She said, I will explain. The demigods and the demons, they were having fight. So Bhagavan, the Lord, he told them that you should churn the ocean of milk with the Mandara mountain and the serpent Vasuki to be the churning rope. So the Lord empowered them to churn. And they churned and they churned and they churned. And then a deadly poison called Kalakuta came out. Krishna said, but poison doesn't come out of milk. Poison comes from snakes. Mother Yashoda said, that poison was all drunk by Mahadev. But some drops fell, and the snakes drank those drops, and that's how they became poisonous. But anyways, little Krishna, my beloved child, please know that because of those spots of poison, you cannot eat that butter. But I have made at home freshly churned butter. Please take that. So Krishna was satisfied. But because it was late at night, he fell asleep in the arms of Yashoda Mai. So she put him in his bed. Very nice bed. The sheets of the bed were as white as the foam on milk. The next morning, Mother Yashoda, she woke up Gopal, and she had nice prasad ready for him. After bathing him, and after massaging him with oils, and rinsing out his mouth, and decorating him, she brought him nice, freshly churned butter. Krishna said, I will not eat this. She said, why will you not eat this? He said, because last night you lied to me. You put me to sleep without giving me anything to eat, and I was dying of hunger. Yashoda Mai said, if you were sleeping, then who stole the butter last night? Gopal said, I didn't steal any butter. Honest, I didn't steal any. Why are you accusing me of stealing butter? I never steal butter.
These are the pastimes of Vrindavan. One day, Balaramji and his friends complained to Yashodamayi that we saw Krishna in a secluded place eating dirt. Ah! Yashodamayi was very, very much disturbed. How is this? He will get sick. He may die. So she ran out to that place and she went to Krishna and said, Gopal, why have you eaten dirt? There is so much prasad, so much food at your house. I'm giving you the best of everything. Why do you eat dirt? You'll get sick if you eat dirt. Child Krishna said, Mataji, I never ate dirt. These people are telling lies against me. We were playing a game and I defeated them. So now they are trying to get revenge by spreading these false rumors against me. I never ate dirt. And Balaramji was saying, he ate dirt, we saw him. And Krishna started to cry and said, Mayi, if you really think I ate dirt, then you look at my mouth. Yashoda Mayi said, open your mouth. And he opened. His mouth was only this big. When she looked inside, she saw the entire Bhuloka with all the oceans, all the mountains, all the seven islands. She saw all the species, all 8,400,000 species of life, the human beings, demigods. She saw Swargaloka, the heavenly planets, Mahajona, Mahaloka, Janaloka, Tapaloka, the planets of the great sages and rishis. She saw Brahmaloka. She saw all the denizens of the entire universe. She saw Brahma and Shiva. She even saw in Krishna's mouth Vrindavan, Gokul. And there was Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda herself. And she saw Krishna inside of Krishna's mouth. The entire cosmic manifestation was contained within his mouth, and his mouth did not grow. It was only this big. Yashoda Mayi was struck with wonder. With folded hands, practically trembling, she offered her obeisances to her son. She was praying, am I under some mystic illusion? What is happening? Or maybe my child is a great personality. Or maybe he is the supreme absolute truth. As she was in this reverential spirit, Gopal smiled. And that smile was so charming that she completely forgot everything she had just seen. Her motherly affection for him was so great that it dissipated all of the reverential feelings that she had just possessed. Krishna tells us in Gita, paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanarataya sambhavami yuge yuge. I come to this world again and again to protect my devotees, annihilate the miscreants, and reestablish the principles of religion. Srila Prabhupada and the Acharyas, they explain that Krishna can perform all of these activities through his expansions, his plenary expansions, his incarnations, or even through his devotees. But the special reason that he personally descends in his original form is to attract our hearts with his most beautiful loving pastimes. The highest, greatest goal of life
is to become so attracted, so attached to Krishna, that we become transcendentally indifferent to the sources of misery of this material world. Param drishtva nivartate. To experience the higher taste of bhakti, of devotion, is the process by which we can transcend all the sufferings of this world. That is the goal of life. That is why Krishna descends. Krishna tells us in Gita that he has no work to perform. He has no karma to work out. He descends simply out of mercy to attract our hearts. And to be attracted to Krishna should be our first priority in life. And the process of bhakti is to awaken that natural innate attraction from within our hearts. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu taught that in this age of Kali, the process is so easy. Parama karuna pahundu ijana nitai gaurachandra sabavatara sarasiromani kevala ananda kanda baja baja bhai chaitanya nitai sudrita vishvasa kori vishayacha diya serase majiya muke bolo hari hari. Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya, supremely merciful, the essence, crest jewel of all avatars, they are giving us the chance to perfect our lives through a process that is simply joyful. Chanting, dancing, and feasting. Kali Kale Namarupe Krishna Avatar. Krishna has appeared within his name. By sincerely chanting the holy names in the association of sincere devotees, in this very life we will find our attraction, our love for Krishna, awakening within our hearts. We will find that fearless state of divine consciousness, the abode of all shelter, Krishna, within our own hearts. It is for this reason that we chant the holy names. Krishna means all attractive. By associating with him through his name, we become attracted. Our whole life should be organized in such a way that we will be attracted to Krishna. Otherwise, Bhagavatam says, Sramevahi Kevalam. Whatever work you do, if in the end it does not awaken attraction for hearing and chanting the names and glories of Krishna, you've simply wasted your life. To imbibe this principle within the hearts of children is the real love of a parent. To have them grow up in such an environment with such blessings of devotees upon them always, with Hari Kirtan, Hari Katha, Hari Seva all around, that they are naturally attracted to Krishna. And to work in this world according to our particular position, to provide and sustain such an environment, that is devotional service. So today our little
Devaharsh, by seeing that tiny little form, we have been inspired to think of Krishna, who also took little form like that, just to attract our hearts. This is the perfection. Chant Hare Krishna and be happy. Thank you very much.